G'day, legends, and welcome to the Thursday sesh, which is oddly enough being pre-recorded on a Wednesday night because I'm going to the rugby league tomorrow night. So thanks, Jared and Dan, for jumping on a day early to get this recorded so we can preview the upcoming Glasgow Derby. Hope everyone tuning in as well. Jared, how are you doing?
Doing great after the long weekend.
And how are you going, Dan?
Looking forward to the game this weekend.
Just recovering here, mate. I've had a bit of the old man flu, so just slowly but surely climbing off my deathbed, as anyone who's had that serious malady would no doubt understand.
I'm taking it you're prescribed a bunch of cement tablets to harden up. That's pretty much what they say for man flu, isn't it?
Yeah, look, there was a bit of that. There was a little bit of stiff shit. You've got a kid to look after and a pregnant wife, so toughen up, get up and get on with it. But I did find some time to lay down in bed and cry myself to sleep. So it's time for us all.
Yeah, well, if Jared was there, he'd give you a cuddle.
Yeah,
he's the crying guy. The crying yourself to sleep part, that was that because of the flu or because of the pregnancy?
Now my wife is just around the corner, so no comment. No comment.
If it was in America, he'd plead the fifth right there. There you go. So, what we'll do is we'll just jump it straight into it. So the plan for tonight's pod is we're going to preview the upcoming game on the weekend, the Glasgow Derby at Ibrox. Willie would have been with us, but we're recording a little bit too late for him across the Dutch in New Zealand. I have to say Dutch when you say it because of the accents. So, yeah, we've got his notes for a few topics as well to chime in with. So, yeah, I just want to start off with Jared. Where are you going to be watching the game on the weekend?
I don't know. Sunday night here, 9 p.m. I'll make the decision closer to then. Like, I was thinking about going to the Brisbane Supporters Club. I think they're showing it at
Lord Alfred,
and Willie Wallace is going to be there. And that's usually pretty fun, but whereas it used to be a 5-minute trip for me, it's now half an hour on a Sunday night. I just know by the time it gets to that time, I'll just be like, I can't be bothered.
Fair enough.
But those are my two options.
And where are you going to be watching it, Dan?
Yeah, the school night's a killer, isn't it? I'm a little bit lucky that I work from home on Mondays at least, so I don't have to worry too much about getting up and getting dressed and getting ready for work. But I'm tossing up between at home, or it's been a little while since I've gone to the Gales here in Penrith, but the Western Sydney Celtic Supporters Club, of which I'm a member, have a beautiful setup over here at the Gales Irish Club, and it's literally 5 minutes down the road, so I might make a long overdue appearance and watch it with a few like-minded individuals if I can pry myself off the lounge.
Funny thing about that one is I was like, I'm thinking there's no way he's going in the Scruffies. He's got to be going the Gales. Because I remember when we had Ange and the team were in Sydney, I was staying around the corner from Scruffy Murphy's, and then I was out at the ground, had a few beers and everything. And next thing I know, I'm in an Uber heading out to Penrith to go to the Gales with some guys I met there. The Uber driver got lost. By the time we got there, I was like, I couldn't see anyone in hoops that was there. Pretty much everyone had left. So I'm like, oh, well, back in we go in the sea.
Straight back out you go.
Not fun. So that's a good
bad
setup.
Timing. It's a beautiful little club. And it's been a while since I've gone out and hung out with a few of the guys. So I might make my presence felt.
Yeah, me and Shane were talking after Monday's Pot Noodle podcast, and usually we'd go into the Melbourne number one CSC in at the Turf Bar, but, you know, with it being a work night and everything like that, and then I've got family thing on the next day with a funeral I've got to go to. I think it's going to be watching it from the My Couch CSC here at home. And we've got a four-legged visitor with Jared right now. So, you know, give him a bit of an introduction and find out where they're going to be watching the game.
Well, she's not coming with me if I go to the pub. But she usually lies beside me on the couch when we watch it from home. It's one thing that gets her attention, I think, because growing up, she was either watching the TV and Celtic were on, or I was playing FIFA and Celtic were on. So whenever the game's on, she's like fascinated. And her name is Remy.
Nice. Yeah, I used to have my dog Zeke come in into this room with me behind the flag. We'd watch the TV and watch the games on the TV. And I was always like, all right, there's a thunderstorm on. He's getting all riled up on it. So what I'd do, I'd chuck a Celtic game on, and he just, instead of laying around by my desk, whatever, he'd go and he'd sit down and be staring at the screen, and he'd actually be going, like, watching the game. It was the best. Good hangout time. Miss him. But, yeah, good fun. Well, if you're tuning in tomorrow, so on Thursday, let us know in the comments wherever you're on it, where you're going to be watching the game. And, yeah, let us know your score predictions as well in the comments as well. We'll get as interactive, even though we're not going live on this episode. But I want to start off with go to you first, Dan. So with Rodgers, we were talking last week that we thought it'd all be a two-game ban. So I was a little surprised that it was one game with one suspended. So that basically means Rodgers is back on the sideline against the Huns. So how badly do you think that's going to infuriate their fans if, you know, if that is actually possible to do, because they're a pretty angry mob at the best of times?
Yeah, they're on a baseline of infuriated at all times, from what I can understand, or at least their representatives on Twitter and X, or whatever you want to call it these days. I had kind of just accepted, I think we all had at the time, that he was going to be found guilty and he'd probably cop the two matches. But when you saw the result and you look back over the precedent, there was, you know, plenty of past managers, particularly on their first defense, who'd got the two games, one suspended. So it sort of does seem in line with the precedent that the SFA has set in the past. So not that has sort of quietened anything from across the river or Castle Greyskull, but it's, you know, obviously a travesty, and the SFA's, you know, kowtowing to the Pope or whatever their latest conspiracy theory is. But no, I think it's, you know,
yep.
Yeah, look, I can't keep up. There's too many conspiracies and, you know, Masonic lodges involved and all sorts of garbage going on. So from where I sit, you know, if you're going to cop a one-match ban, a touchline ban, Livy's probably the place to do it, because you're sort of right on the touchline in the stadium anyway, and it's practically a home game at Livy at this point, with three out of those four stadiums at the old spaghetti had. In green and white, looked great with the big tifo and the banners and everything. And yeah, the gaff is on the touchline for the big one, the Glasgow Derby. And you know, any little thing, I'm not sure how much it really means. That we've seen past players come out and say there's times when in Glasgow Derbies or previously in Old Firm clashes where you couldn't hear what the manager was saying anyway. So, you know, I don't know how much it actually helps, but any little thing helps, I guess. And Brendan will be where he needs to be and be able to dictate what's going on. And, you know, as I'm sure we'll sort of look into the game, it's an exciting time with a couple of guys coming back in as well. So, yeah, look, justice done. It matches the precedent. It's the first time he's been in front of the SFA for that sort of shit. It sounds like they paid an absolute motzer for this. What do they call him? The Messi of sports litigation or sports law or something? This Mac DeMarco or something?
Sounds like a castle.
I thought it was like a Return of the Mac thing. I was like, isn't that Mac DeMarco? It's like an old R&B hip hop guy.
Sounded like either the sort of guy you'd get selling your used car or the sort of guy you'd have selling pingers at a nightclub in Carlton or something back in the 90s in Melbourne.
True. See, I was thinking more that one Pommy guy that's 100% constantly sunburnt and hanging out in Ibiza, you know, going, come on, lads, you want to come to this club, tenner for the club, you know?
Yeah.
So that sounds like a Mac DeMarco to me, but no, he's obviously got a decent result, and we'll move on and let the Huns rage as they do.
So before we go to you, Jared, for your take on that, I have two things I need to ask you there, Dan, on that. Number one, you called it Castle Greyskull. Castle Greyskull was the way the battle in He-Man was between good and evil. So is that why you're calling it that? Or are you calling it like Skeletor and the bad guy's home? Because if that's what you're calling it, it should be Snake Mountain.
I always know.
He-Man here, because I was a massive fan, showing my age when I was a kid. So I just
want to make sure. You're 100% right. It was called, a lot of people used to call it Castle Grayskull when I was young, and even though it didn't make sense, it fits because it looks like a dank, dark shithole.
Yeah.
And Castle Grayskull sounds like a dank, dark shithole.
Snake Mountain looks good for them as well, though.
Yeah, it's a Snake Mountain. Look, let's lock it in. All I know is there's, you know, significant parts of it that are about to be condemned, and there are parts you can't enter for safety concerns. It's literally falling down around them, so...
Yep.
And we'll have, 5% of the seats there next year.
Yep. Jared, what's your thoughts on the whole Rogers being on the sideline?
Yeah, I was the same. I thought we were definitely getting two, one and a bit. I think the SFA, whether they made a decision or not beforehand, as soon as we got that lawyer, I think they were like, let's just give them whatever they need so that they don't decide to pursue anything more. We're just like, yep, let's give it to them. Don't really care either way if he was going to miss the game or not miss the game. Like I said last week, his strength is getting the team set up. So everything that's going to be done for this game, he's going to have it ready before kickoff anyway. Being on sideline, I don't think it's really going to make a big difference to the game. But let's just hope if he needs to give him a speech at halftime or something, he's going to be available. But let's hope we're up by a little bit. I think it's more important that Carl McGregor's back, actually, than having Brendan Rodgers on the sideline.
Fair enough. Good point. We'll discuss that a little later on the pod. But, yeah, just with the whole Rogers thing, the pregame speech is going to be so easy. Anyone can give it. It's basically two sentences. It's like, and that's because of the referee appointment, and we'll get into all that side of it as well. It's going to be pretty simple pre-match speech. So, yeah, as you're saying, Jared, the halftime talk's pretty much your only real difference there. But the other thing, though, with like DeMarco, and I said it on Monday, it's the way I look at it is it's like they're pretty much saying, okay, we know that we've absolutely cooked it here. And what's his name? The Crawford Allen's already fallen on his sword and leaving at the end of the year or whatever, so he's gone. So that's part of fixing it. But they're probably looking and going, yeah, do we really want Celtic to – they've gone and, you know, tooled up with DeMarco here. Do we really want to, like, you know, chuck him for two games or give him six games or whatever and cause an absolute shit fight here and have DeMarco digging in and just like ripping things out root and stem and absolutely tearing through the whole structure, because we were geared up for it, but it never happened because we pretty much got what we wanted. They had to suspend him because he said incompetence, and that's specifically mentioned in Rule 72. So it had to be done. He had to get something, but yeah, I think it's more them just saying, yeah, just okay, one game, go away. Don't dig into anything else too much here. So yeah,
here's the minimum. Go away.
Yep, exactly. So their fans aren't very happy about that. They're saying, you know, as we mentioned, it's all because of papal visits and all this sort of stuff in 1982 at Ballhurston Park and 500,000 different frigging stories and all sorts of stuff. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But off the back of that, though, I didn't see the referee appointment coming where we were getting, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, it'll probably be Kevin Clancy or Dickinson or someone like that going into the game, right? Was not expecting it to be John Beaton as ref, Willie Collins fourth official, and Nick Walsh on VAR. So I'm going to discuss this from our point of view here, but then I also, before I even get into that, I'm going to touch on the Huns fans' response that I've seen all over Twitter and everything in the last 24 hours, because their fan base is just as pissed off as us about it, because they're looking at it going, oh, John Beaton's coming in. They've just had the SFA hearing. He's not, because of that, he's going to be really cautious. He's not going to call anything borderline controversial against Celtic. So they're going to think he's going to be shit scared and not want to do anything. At the same time, a guy that they asked not to ref them and has basically not refed them for 12 rounds or something like that now is the fourth official. So if John Beaton does a hammy during the game, Willie Collins steps in and he takes over at Ibrox. So that would be hilarious. So they're a little shitty about that. But then they've got the little appetizer to them with Nick Walsh on VAR, who has the family tie into the club and everything over there. So they've got the fixer there. But because of what happened. Do you really think John Beaton's going to have Nick Walsh and he's saying, oh, you should look at that, you should look at that, you should change your mind on that with what happened and actually second-guess himself and go to VAR very often? I just can't see it happening. And that's what they're saying as well. So it's gonna be a bit of a weird one. Like the Huns fans are shitty about it. Our fans are shitty because Beaton's in there. Of course the SFA is going to do stuff like that. But, yeah, it's the episode is Pattern of Assistance because that's an ongoing thing, and I've done that as a shout-out to Celtic by Numbers podcast, Alan Morrison over there, who is really did a dive in an episode on Axon last week as well about the pattern of assistance that Rangers get compared to everyone else for penalties, free kicks, the referees and all that sort of stuff. So I've named this episode that for the same reason, because this could be seen as a pattern of assistance. And this is what I was saying before about the pre-game talk. You're going to have Rogers just have to say, we got no fans. We've got no fans in the stadium. It's just us. John Beaton's been appointed. The SFA is saying up yours to us. Nick Walsh is in VAR. We have to win by three goals, get three goals ahead to make it happen, just to be safe. So that's how easy the pregame speech is. So everyone's going to be G'd up. It's us against the world. But, Dan, I've been rambling for a bit, so I want to get your opinion and your thoughts on the referee appointments.
I think it's we're past the 5 minutes yet. I think it's fucking ridiculous that, we've gone straight into this. There's a clear conflict of interest where you've got a manager that's literally used the word incompetent. You can't tell me that that's not one way or the other. You can't tell me that's not going to be playing on John Beaton's mind. Beyond that, I think for me, the difference is clear and it's stark, and you can see, and we've spoken about it in the past, that the SFA always kowtow to the other side. You know, we've, you know, had our issues with John Beaton. Immediately he's thrown back in and we're having this conversation. Rangers have an issue with Willie Collin being Catholic and being a fourth official in this game is about as close as he's come to refereeing them in however long.
12 rounds.
Yeah. And I mean, as you said, it'll take a hammy for a John Beaton hamstring strain to get him any involvement other than just being lashed on the sidelines. So you can imagine the conspiracy crying if he does do the hammy and warm up or something and Willie Collin comes in. But I mean, Beaton's there, Walsh is on VAR. I'm almost tempted to stick a tenner on Tavernier to score a goal because you know there's going to be a Rangers penalty and he's probably not going to miss it. So we're going to have to score two to win at Ibrox, let's be honest, minimum.
We said that on Monday. We joked at the end of the episode, what minute is the penalty going to be for Rangers? I said 61st, Shane said 31st. I can't remember what John said.
Might have to run a sweep or something in the group chat, see who gets it closest.
Should actually do that as a fundraiser for the Celtic Foundation or something like that. Do it in our Facebook group or Twitter and everything, and, you know, a £2 buy-in or something like that. Winner gets 50 quid or something, and then the rest goes to Celtic Foundation or something like that. Could do something.
Not a bad
idea. A nice little one. So before we go to you, Jared, like the question I had on top of what we've discussed is, will we see impartial referees this weekend or will the pattern of assistance for Rangers continue? So give us your thoughts overall, Jared, on it, and then let us know. Will we get impartial refs or will they be assisted?
My initial thought, I was a bit shocked. I was just kind of thinking, what was the meeting at SFA to decide who was going to be the referee and how come they decided to choose the one person that probably shouldn't have been refereeing this game because it was so soon after like a hearing that involved him. One thing I don't get is the way that they seem to rotate referees for these games. It's kind of like, why don't you just pick a referee that people don't complain about? So Willie Collin and Beaton, get them both gone because both sides don't like one of them.
And then
there's
the next
plenty of other referees.
And the next one's off that, Jared, with Kevin Clancy off and Nick Walsh off. So that leaves you the next man up is David Dickinson. There you go. Who's the third?
You just look back at like the last few years of Old Firm matches, said that word. Oops. Celtic Rangers matches. And just look at who done the best job and who, like looked like on a consistent basis, just looked like they were refereeing, and then just go, okay, maybe we'll get you to do more of the more of these games. Because at the end of the day, I don't know why they're giving people turns. I don't know why they're doing, like, we're talking about referees and Celtic and Rangers are playing on the weekend. Why the hell are we talking about referees? We shouldn't be talking about referees. And this sport is a entertainment. We watch it to be entertained. We don't watch it to be like, oh, I wonder what decision the referees are. A good referee should not be noticed. They should just be like, oh, yep, there's a foul. There's this. And deciding this is what we're going to do this weekend is kind of like, screw yous. We don't care about the entertainment factor. We don't care like about everything else. Like they're like a spiteful wife who's just like using passive aggressive means to go screw you because you brought in the lawyer and we didn't get to do what we wanted or whatever. I just find it ridiculous. And I also forgot what your actual question was.
Will we see impartial referees?
Oh, we'll be impartial referees. You know what? I think so. I think there's too much pressure on Beaton to not be impartial. Like, I also, and people will probably hate me for this, I feel a bit bad for him getting put into this. Like, it's not something that Celtic want. It's not something that Rangers want. And I'm pretty sure, like, if the referees are part-time, does he really want the pressure of having all the fans against him? Like, it's not fair on anyone. Why make this decision? But I think he'll probably have his best game just because of that pressure and fear. And that, I don't know if that's more hope than anything, but what we can control is what we do on the field. And this game is the first time we actually get to choose from all of our players because no one's injured. We can go out. We're in form. After watching last week's game, I'm now a lot more confident than I was before the game. I'm just like, let's just focus on ourselves. Like, do your little pregame speech and then be like, all right, get in the huddle and just be like, fuck the refs, fuck Ibrox, fuck Rangers. Let's just do what we've been doing at training. Let's just play our game and fuck them up.
And then let them burn their stadium to the ground once we beat them and pretty much their season's over. Sounds good.
Yeah.
So anyone's going to argue with that?
It'll improve it. But this is Willie's rundown of his notes for everyone, okay? So he subheaded it, cheating Beaton. His dot points are, disappointment sums up the SFA's bias and our board's ineptitude. He should never have been allowed near a Celtic game because of his football alliance. This is a massive slap in the face from the SFA to Celtic. The Huns complain about Colin Messina removed from ref in their games for the last 12 games. Kevin Clancy reffed the derby on the 8th exactly a year ago, which resulted in a letter to the SFA demanding answers and death threats to him. He has only had two Rangers games since, the first away game in Dundee 8 months on in November and then again in January against the same opponents. Meanwhile, we've had Don Robertson, he's deliberately got his name backwards there, twice in the past two fixtures, and now a known Rangers supporter reffing us at Ibrox in the biggest game of the season. Willie Collum came under fire for being VAR assistant in the New Year derby and has had one game for them since, a cup game against Ayr a month and a half after. Cheating Beaton in the middle for our match just two fixtures later after the SFA thing. Whether you like it or not, Sevco's board will fight their case, but unfortunately our board are more passive on these sort of matters. So Willie has cut sick a little bit there, so that's good fun.
I don't know whether it's that our board is more passive than their board or whether it's that their board just has more clout. Like, clearly we didn't go into the hearing passive. They shelled out for the big-name lawyer and you know, Desmond was rattling the saber a bit. So I don't know whether it's passivity by the board or whether, you know, let's be honest, if you get Rangers offside, they're the sort of mob that take the ball and go home, you know. So SFA probably just think it's easier to upset Celtic than it is Rangers. But
I think it's the old, you know, the old saying, don't let your enemies know what you're doing, so move in silence. As soon as that something doesn't go their way, it's a dummy spit, it's a statement. They got their friends in the media just dropping all sorts of stories to cover their narrative, and they control the narrative of what they're doing. And our guys just say quiet, get in this big wig lawyer from London, and they don't go and do things. But stuff behind the scenes is being said and done. But we're none the wiser, and it looks like our fans aren't our board's not standing up for our club and our management team.
So like, I don't want to sound like I'm defending the board, but I think they would have went in, got the lawyer, got the suspension reduced, then we're coming up to this game. I don't, like, the referee got appointed, they're not going to overturn it. As soon as he's appointed, that's it, no matter how much you complain or how much you do anything. I don't think they would have went in thinking that they were going to choose him. I don't think they could have preempted that and actually went, hey, make sure Beaton isn't refereeing this game. I think they would have just went, okay, well, let's move on. Beaton's obviously not going to be refereeing this next game. And then it happened. It's like, wait, what?
I'm quite surprised from an SFA perspective that they were just like, yeah, sure, let's create more controversy. And I don't know whether, you know, do they just trade in column inches these days? But I'm quite surprised, you know.
I figured out what it is.
It's not very good marketing.
That's actually what it is, Jared. I figured it out. This is what they're going to do. They're going to throw him straight into this game where all the eyes of not just the Scottish media, but the world, because people like us will watch from Australia, people in the US, all over the world. There'll be CSCs, there'll be Rangers supporters clubs, there'll be fans down in England. Everyone tunes in for the Old Firm, which is dead, and the Glasgow Derby, right? So they always tune in for those games. So the eyes are going to be on. So if he can go into this game, call it down the middle, and they don't have any controversy, and go, see, there's no problem here. And it gives them the marketing they want to say, see, our things aren't suspect. So that's what they're doing. They're playing a game here. I just figured out what it is.
It's not football.
The funny thing is, though, like was mentioned earlier, you want your refs to be impartial. And I think it was you said it, Jordan, you shouldn't be talking about who the refs are. You have an AFL game here in Melbourne. You have 100,000 people at the MCG. Something goes wrong. There's only one AFL umpire that I know the name of. And they have like six of them on the field or something like that, or even more with like boundary umps and goal umps. And yeah, it's probably like seven umpires. There's only one whose name I actually know. I could walk past even him and not recognize him. So any other sport pretty much I watch, it's the same deal. So I just think it's strange. It's that goldfish bowl in Glasgow that just really puts the refs under the microscope here as well. That as someone who's grown up over this side of the world who is obsessed with Celtic and loves the club and has had it passed down to me from the granddad and all this sort of stuff, I find having to talk about this strange, but at the same time, we have to talk about it leading into this derby.
See, you're I've said this right. before, and yes, it comes down to money, but I think for important games like the Glasgow Derby, Scottish Cup finals, I think we should be outsourcing the referees and getting someone from England, just fly them up just for this one game, and then it's like, no one knows who this person is. They're just going to do the job. They don't care. It'll cost a little bit more, but I mean, these are the games where a lot of the money is made. It'd be better than paying for freaking VAR.
Get someone in from the Balkans. They're used to having the stadiums on fire around them, so they won't be thrown off by Fibrox. It's got like bottles of Bucky and batteries and stuff and his cups and stuff thrown at them. They won't care. They'll be like, whatever.
The Croatian referee and a couple of Serbian linesmen and a Macedonian fourth official, and away we go.
Oh, they'll chin them just as bad. Here you go. Good fun. So, Ali McCoist, absolute numpty. So Scotland has introduced new hate speech laws, and McCoist let slip that him and 48,000 others will be breaching those laws during the match this weekend. So as Willie has put on his note here, don't be fooled by the cheeky chappy persona. He's just outed himself as a bona fide bigot. Statement like that proves he only has two brain cells and they're currently scraping it out for third place. I had my note was saying the guy is a total bell end, but then Willie's notes just smashed it. So yeah, I just think it's pretty funny, all things considered, that he would openly say that and not realize what he's actually said.
And I see he's tried to backtrack this afternoon. He's like, oh, I'm not even actually going to the game, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's the spirit of what he meant is right there. Him and the whole bunch of them are quite happy to throw legitimate anti-Catholic rhetoric and hate. It's hate speech. They are quite happy to throw it out. The same mob that whinge about the word Hun and claim that that's hate speech or a slur or whatever they want to say it is. But he has. He's outed himself. We all know it. No, I don't think any of us have ever been fooled by the, holly jolly. Oh, everyone likes Ali. He's a flog just like the rest of them. And it's not a surprise. And I hope any of them that are caught singing or talking absolute garbage and hate speech and crap like that get the absolute book thrown at them, because it's fucking disgusting.
Yep, 100%. And talking about hate speech for a second here, yesterday on Axon, Liam from our Pot Noodle Pod, he goes on there on a Tuesday, and he made a bit of a comment about the Lavi lovers, and some hun in the comments said, oh, that's hate speech because, you know, they drink from Lavis and stuff, and that's being hateful, and tried to say that that's that. So, yes, it's hate speech towards Lavis, not to you lot who drink out of them. So if any of you are in the comments once this podcast's out, good. Thanks for the view, and do one.
Also, Liam is in Japan, which does not have their hate speech law. So exactly. He can say whatever he wants.
And some very different lavatories too.
Yeah.
And we're in Australia and we don't have the same laws, so we can say the same thing as well. So sit on that and rotate. There you go.
I'm led to believe a court has decided that the word Hun isn't hate speech or sectarian either. So
it's been confirmed. So Hun. And that's for the person who constantly comments in the on the videos, oh, using the word Hun is unintelligent. Yeah, I don't care. I just do it to wind.
That's what my dad calls my mum.
Exactly.
To be fair, her wearing a Rangers shirt around the house is a bit much, but
I'm pretty sure it is hate speech when he says it.
All right, so let's get into the game. The actual football talk.
There's a game on.
That's right. We're going to play.
So let's get into that. So the key thing, we're talking about it early on, looks like there's going to be some returns. So we've got possible returns for both Kalmak and Palmer. Looks like Palmer has been past fit. Kalmak still has to pass a fitness test later in the week, but he should be good to go. So if Kalmak returns, what midfield dynamic do you guys go with? I said on Monday that I would probably be keeping the same lineup from the weekend. So keep Awada in the six and then go Hatate and O'Reilly, and then I'd have Kalmak coming on to see out the game for the last half hour. And then you still got Bernardo there, but what would you boys do? Would you be dropping Awada and bringing Kalmak straight in for this sort of game? Or what would you do? Jared's nodding his head, so I'll go to you first.
I think in these games, and he has proved it, he's been pretty shit this season, to be honest, except against Rangers. He has been an absolute difference maker. And yes, like people will say, oh, Awada deserves to keep his spot. Yeah, he does. But this game, it's not just about how well you play and all that sort of stuff. Like, his experience, just the way he can get into Rangers' head. If he's fit, he is the first name that you put on the sheet for a game against Rangers. And we can't wait till the second half to bring him on. If he's fit, he starts, because we need to get up early. get in the head, because this game is more one inside the jersey than outside the jersey. And I think if we score a couple of goals early, they will fold.
Until they get the pen. Yeah, look, I tend to agree with Gerard. I didn't mind when you said, sliding Cal Mac on at some point in the second half to see it out. I don't mind that, but I guess you could also flip it and say someone like Iwata comes in the second half, particularly if you're 1-0 up, 2-0 up, 2-1 up or something like that. Iwata has been really impressive over the last couple of weeks. I thought he was really good, had a lot of maturity in that Livingston game. And that we weren't tested all that much, but there was a bit of a scrap through the middle of the park, and I thought he looked quite good. Obviously, O'Reilly and Hatate, how good was it to have him back? He just, the heads-up play, the forward drive straight away. You've got to have, for me, Reo Hatate has got to be one of the first guys you've got in the score sheet. So I'd probably go Calmac, O'Reilly, and Hatate, but Iwata could consider himself very unlucky if he wasn't starting, and he'd certainly be the guy I'd be bringing on if we had the opportunity to see the game out, for sure.
When was the last time Calmac, Hatate, and O'Reilly started a game together? Let's see if you know that.
Oh, fuck knows.
They played about 13 minutes together in that game, and then Hatate went off hurt and hadn't been back until this game just gone on the weekend. It was the 2-2 draw in the Champions League with Atletico Madrid.
Oof. That feels like a lifetime ago, doesn't it?
Was that this season?
Yeah, it was this season. So the funny thing is that's been our main midfield for the better part of 18 months before this season. So I wouldn't have any problems if Calmac come in. I'm happy with either way. It doesn't really bother me either way, but I'm just thinking it'd be great to have a couple of weapons. Like, yeah, as you're saying, bring a Wilder on to see out the game. I'd be having Kun starting, which we're going to go into our starting lineups. But for me, I'd be having Kun starting, but then I'd be taking him off with about 15 to go for a couple up, and I'd be bringing Jamesy Forrest on just to see the game out as well for that exact same reason. He's not going to be, too fussed and phased if people are throwing shit at him at Ibrox. Been there, done that, probably got the scars, but doesn't care. So
yeah, very composed.
We'll go your predicted starting lineups, Jared, and then we'll talk about the match. Watch out.
Keep it simple. I'll just go same as last week, except starting with Calmac instead of Iwata, just to get more forward momentum and hopefully get up early.
Dan?
I've just got my team here. So I've got Segrist in goal, Ralston on the...
Are you really doing that? Because I've got a list like that from a group chat I was in that I'll read through as well. Bain and goal, Ralston, Kobayashi, Lagerbelka, Scales, McCarthy, Home and Kelly, Varda, Owen, Forrest was that lineup. So
Perfect. I actually forgot Kobayashi existed, to be honest. But get them in. Get them all in. It's a game you could give a few minutes to a few guys that haven't played in a while. I'm going same as Jared.
If that happened, we went there with that lineup and won. It's like the New Year's Derby, and we've gone into we're playing them at home, and I'm going, oh, we've got Scales and Welsh starting together, and we end up winning that. So
yeah, I would rather have CCV and Naroski as our centre backs, and I noticed he was on the bench last game, and I thought he was going to come off the bench and give someone a rest, but the fact that we played with CCV and Scales for the whole game pretty much solidified that was practice for them for this game.
Yeah, feels like that's the first choice pair at the moment. Whatever Naroski's done.
Just that left-hand side, and they're just going to pick on it, and when you've got Scales and Taylor, if there's a goal, it's coming down that side.
And that's what I was just about to say, where we go, the matchups to watch out for, I'm talking about matchups or areas, key spots for us where we can be got at is down that left side. I was going to say that's the one spot for me is the Taylor and Scales pairing. They've got a couple of big hammer throwers up front. They've got some big wingers, so they're going to be targeting Taylor and his lack of size and physicality out there. And if he's getting up in the middle and inverting, then that's going to expose Scales. So, yeah, we've got to keep our shape and work well in that situation. But the biggest thing that's going to help us and not get let those guys get caught out is if Maeda can pin, what's his name, Tav, back into that corner at right back, doesn't let him get up the field, he can get the press on him and make him turn back towards his goalkeeper, then that's going to take that option away and it's not going to expose our guys down that side of the field. So I will go through Willie's notes on the game, and then we'll go through and you guys can go with any, have some thinking time on any other matchups or areas on the pitch you think we need to address, and then we'll go our score predictions and then we'll wrap up the pod. It's going to be a short one tonight, but that's okay. So Willie's notes were, having CCV back fit for this match is massive. His calming influence on the defence is clear to see. Hatate's forward thinking has clearly been missing this season. You can see the way we relentlessly attack Livy that it's an element to our game that's missing when he's out. So with him in the middle, we press more and we're just go, go, go. The hope for Willie is that Kelmak makes it as well into the squad. If he does, we'll have two men on him, which should free up some space for Hatate and O'Reilly in the middle. Tavernier is their best out ball threat, and we need Maeda to be at his best and keep him pinned in. There you go. Didn't even see Willie's note before. I just said my thing before, so that's good. Tavernier has 4 out of 7 goals against us in the derbies and will be dangerous from set pieces. This means they will be falling and diving wherever possible from 30 yards in. Luckily, we'll have an unbiased ref who won't fall for it, hey? Nice one, Willie. Kuhn will have a base, will have the chance to test his resurgent form against an aging Borna Barisic, and it could be Yilmaz, but he's in doubt. So that's, we're going to give you your Kuhn corner in a minute. Jared, I couldn't get the picture made up in time. I tried and it, you know, didn't want to download, so we'll have that next week. For Willie, our midfield will be Hatate, O'Reilly and Kelmak, if fit. Feel for a wider, but that three are the best three midfielders in Scotland and have a good understanding of each other. If we are in a positive position on the hour mark, that a wider Kelmak sub will happen. Willie said he thinks Seema and Silva will be either side of Cantwell, as his exact words, in a 4-2-3-1. Lundstrom and Diamante sitting. I was feeling quietly confident on this one up until this morning when the referees were announced. Willie doesn't give a score prediction, so Willie's score prediction is going to be us winning 6-1.
Conservative.
Yep, heaps. So any things you think we've got to look out for, in particular, for me, it's the battle in the midfield. We've got to get on top early and make them try and play around us. Even though we're saying we don't want them going at Taylor, but if you can win the middle of the park and get the press going, then they're not going to be able to break through and expose our left side at the back. So that's the key spot for me. Anything for you, Dan, on that?
Yeah, fairly similar. That, and you've got, as you mentioned, our left is obviously a lot weaker than our right at the back. Tavernier can get forward. And whether it's Sterling or Seema, or whether they end up playing Matondo, you know, I'm not sure who's going to play in that sort of forward right position. I know Seema is supposed to just be back, and it's, you know, old mate Dess is up front, I presume, even though he divides their fan base if Clyde Super Scoreboard's anything to go by. It's going to be, I think, key for us to make sure that we're closing down anything on that left side as early as possible, and making sure that we're not caught out, over-committing resources if we're worried about Scales or Taylor getting pinged. The upside there, at least, I presume Maeda will, you know, will bust a gut up and down that left wing all day if needed. So,
yeah, Slim Shady will do the job over there for us on that side.
Chicka chicka.
Jared?
I'm cool. I'm cool. I'm nearly a 40-year-old man. I'm cool.
For me, yeah, I'm just kind of a little bit worried about our left. I think we got away with it last game because that's before they had all their imports or whatever you call them. they bought all the, these attacking players. So they played with Ross McClure, what's his name? McCausland, the young kid.
Yeah.
And like, he did a decent job, but when you, when I was watching the game, I just remember thinking, geez, if they had someone better on that right-hand side, they'd make us pay. Plus, Dessers just deciding not to take shots. That was great. That was very handy for us as well. So let's hope he keeps that up. I know Scott Wright started on the right in the last game, so I don't know if he'll start again, or if Sima is fit now, because I think he came on for Scott Wright. So their attack is a lot better than it was last time we've seen them, and they're a lot quicker. But also these players have never played in this sort of fixture before, where I think we've got the advantage. I don't think there's a lot of players, except for maybe Kuhn. But the way he's been playing lately, I think he's won man of the match every game, like last three games. I think he's going to, hopefully, I hope Barisic plays, because he is going to make him look like he's playing under 12s. That's going to be fun to watch.
Watch him turn him inside out. Like the way Abada used to just run at him and then just ghost in behind him and get across him and everything. And then you look at a guy like Kuhn, who, you know, left winger playing on the right, he can come inside on him, can then go put, or then, and once you've got him on his heels, then you take him back to the byline and cut it back in with crosses and stuff. He's going to be turning him inside out. We're not going to know what's going on. So,
or even his shot on the weekend, like he was going to the byline. I'd love to see at the end of this season, I'd love to see a stat on how many times Kuhn went to the byline or cut back inside. And I think it's probably going to be about even, because you can't tell what he's going to do, because he doesn't know until the defender gives him a side to go.
He's
to
taking the defense, so, giving him, and then just punishing them either way. If they're on their heels, giving you the corner, then he's going that way.
Yep. So like you can't just go, okay, I'll take this away. So, and then he had a brilliant shot because there was no one open. He's always looking for the assist first, which is what I like. But then when there was nothing open, he thought, I'll take a shot. It was brilliant. It was just a really good save by George. So yeah, I think their left-hand side defense is going to be where they're weak, and our left-hand side is where we're going to be weak.
I think you're right. And even just seeing the Kuhn in the last few weeks, as you said, the confidence to go at a man and force him into a decision, whether to commit on the inside or the outside, it's refreshing. And I'm the first to hold my hand up. You know, I was not a huge fan, but the last few weeks he's really shown what he can do, and I think we're in a position where we're going to see a lot more from Kuhn over, you know, the run in for the title and moving forward. I'm really glad he's not a loan signing, because I think we've got a bit of a player there just quietly.
Jared was on him from day one, everyone. Just remember that. All right, let's get our score predictions in for the game, and then we'll go to our final thoughts and end the pod there. So, Jared, what's your score prediction?
3-1.
Dan? Oh, who the goal scorer, sorry?
Goal scorers, I will go with Kuhn. And Kyogo, why not give him a goal in the derby? And Rio, he seems to love just taking long shots from outside the box against Rangers. So get a tatty on there. And Tavernier penalty for Rangers.
Dan?
Yeah, I'm going 2-1. 2-1 to the good guys. Kyogo scores early. Tavernier penalty, naturally. And a late winner from Greg Taylor.
Oh, that's interesting. I was going to go, for me, I was going to be 3-2. They'll get their penalty in the 61st minute, but we'll have an early goal for us by, I think Maeda will get one. Then we'll go 2-0 up, which will be Kuhn scoring. Then they'll get their penalty. They'll score one. It'll probably be we'll make some sort of mistake at the back. They'll catch us out on the left side and score one there and a counter-attack. Then they're penalty in the 61st by Tav to get it to 2-2. And then in the 89th minute, the winner will be James Forrest. It's written in the stars. Like, and just, I don't know, I just had a feeling the way he's been playing the last few games, he's looking like the James Forrest of old from his first, from Brendan's first stint.
Best winger at the club, mate.
Not quite, because Kun's there.
Oh, I'm just quoting Brendan, mate. The best winger at the club.
Yep. And well, if we're quoting Brendan, John Beaton is incompetent. There we go. That's the best way to end the pod. Now we'll go to our final thoughts. So you boys got one ready to go?
Yes.
Go on, Dan. Give Jared some more thinking time.
I was super confident while I was only half formulating a thought there, but I'm going to say it. My final thought, it's got nothing to do with football or anything like that. Thank God for a father and parents who are not only capable of putting together flat back furniture, but are willing to come and do it all the time. There's nothing better. We're preparing for a second kid. We've got stuff coming left and right. I can do it, but it's so frustrating. I hate it. My old man comes down, bip, 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 done. I come home from work and it's all done. So if you haven't got someone in your life who can just come and do all your flat pack furniture for you, I highly recommend it. I mean, possibly a bit late to get a father who does it if you haven't got one, but it's just unbelievably helpful.
What a guy. He gets a round of applause.
Big shout out.
Jared, your final thought?
Well, since he went sappy, my final thought, because it was what I was doing before I came on here, new X-Men cartoon is brilliant. It's Wednesday, so it comes out. I think it comes out on Wednesdays. I've been watching it on Wednesdays. It's brilliant. It's better than I remember it when I was a kid. I love X-Men. If you didn't notice, my dog's name's Remy. She is named after one of the characters from X-Men. That's my final thought.
Fair enough. My final thought is, I just saw today that Premier Sports has been relaunched in the UK, and they're going to be picking up the games that Viaplay, with them going out of business, is going to be dropping off. So it's good to see Premier Sports stepping back in and picking up the game so that we're not going to be missing out on Scottish football. So, yeah, that's just a good one for me. Glad to see that. Yeah, so thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Remy says bye. She popped her head up there. Hail, hail, Jared and Dan. And, yeah, we'll get the win. What?
I just want to leave on my four favourite words from a Glasgow derby of all time. Go on. Shut your hole, fat boy. It's five words. I couldn't count. Whatever. Shut your hole, fat boy. Let's go.
Fair enough. Cheers, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. How, how.
Hello.
Fuck the king. Up the Celts. Sports Social Podcast Network.